If you got your Bibles, I hope you're reading. I hope you're studying. I hope you're taking time through your week to study. You know, it doesn't take much time. It's amazing how much Scripture you can read in a short amount of time. And but I encourage each and every one, study, read. It's beneficial to you. And but if you got your Bibles, open to the book of James. Verna's got it. Book of James, chapter 3. I guess I need to tell you where we're at. But I had struggled a little bit this week with knowing what to preach. And I had a lot of things in my mind, a lot of things going on, and I just, nothing really just stuck. Nothing just really came to me and said, this is what you're going to do. And then Friday, I read something, and it just kind of hit me. And I thought, man, I couldn't get it out of my mind. And it just kind of stuck with me. And all day Friday and Friday evening and then all day Saturday, it's like, man, I guess God's trying to tell me something. And when God's trying to tell you something, you better listen and you better just do it. Now, that's all I got to say. And so it brought me to the book of James and at chapter 3. And it's pretty powerful, the book of James. James is pretty direct. I mean, he just tells you most of the time, he don't beat around the bush. He just tells you direct, this is the way it is. And sometimes we need to be told directly. And we don't like it. We don't like it sometimes when somebody tells us something directly. And but this is the way James is, you know, and the Scripture is that way. Sometimes the Scripture just kind of beats you up a little bit, you know, in our lives. And sometimes it does two things. You know, it encourages you, and then it kind of beats you up a little bit, you know. And so we all like to be encouraged all the time and not to get beat up, right? But sometimes we need that. We need that discipline, and it's a reminder because we're human. And we are human. We make mistakes. We're not infallible. And just because we use words sometimes like perfect grace or heart perfection or sanctification, a purification of heart, sometimes we use those words, but those words doesn't mean exactly the way they sound, okay? In the Greek, when we look at the word perfect in the Greek, It's teleos, okay? Tongue twisted right now. Teleos, that's the word in Greek. But it doesn't mean the perfect thing that we think of, okay? It means maturity, okay? So when we think about maturity, it means what, Christian maturity? That's what the Bible refers to. That's what James is going to refer to in his word that he uses, perfect. Think about that. He uses the word mature, which means a high standard of moral conduct. It also means that. So, you know, that's kind of a, okay, that's where I need to be, right? That's the way I want people to look at me, okay? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. Just let me speak exactly what you want me to say this morning. Lord, take everything away that's me, Lord, and let it all be you. Let these words be your words, not my words. Anoint these words so that we may be better when we leave than when we came. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault is what they say is perfect. Okay? Able to keep their whole body in check. Well, let's stop right there and let's look at Matthew 12. I didn't have Verna put some of these other scriptures up there, but if you'll follow me, Matthew 12, 37. Turn to Matthew 12, 37. This is going to be a little bit of a Bible study mixed in with some preaching, okay, this morning. Okay, 12:37. Actually, let's start at 34, verse 34 of chapter 12. Here's Jesus talking to who? He's talking to the Pharisees. And anybody that knows who the Pharisees are, they were a group of religious people. They started out on a good note with trying to bring back. They went through a spell where nobody was keeping the law. And so the Pharisees came up. They started this group of Pharisees and Sadducees. But the Pharisees started out as to gain back the keeping of the law, to get it right. But they become so religious over the years, throughout the years, that they were so religious that they forgot about what relationship was with God. And it all become about the religious, strict rules and keeping of the law. But here's what Jesus says to him. He said, "You brood of vipers, how can who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Wow. Man, that's pretty direct, isn't it? This is what Jesus is saying. You know, he's like, and if we go back to James, and what did James say at the beginning? "Not many of you should be teachers because of this." Because we're going to give an account one of these days. Every word that I say up here, I tell you what, I am very, very cautious about what I say when it comes to Scripture. And it's not because of, it's because of what this says right here. Because I'm going to be held accountable for every word that I say. And I have to give an account for that, whether it's good or beneficial or not. So what James is saying, he says, you know, you're going to be judged a little more strictly because of this. And he says, you all stumble, so you have to be careful. So you need to be mature. That's what he's saying. You know, if you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to speak the words, then you need to be more mature in what you do. So you know, but everybody stumbles. He's saying that. You know, James 1:26, if we just turn back a page and we look at James 1:26. Let's look at that. It says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is with this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Now, let's go on. Let's turn back to James chapter 3. And let's go to verse 3, and we're going to continue reading right there. Remember what I just read. "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. Set the whole course for one's life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell." Now I want you to think about that, because the things that we say, and this is what James is getting to, that little thing in our mouths gets us in trouble a lot, doesn't it? And it's such a small thing. And I can remember times in my life, man, the old saying, you stick your foot in your mouth, you know. I've had my foot in my mouth all the way to my kneecap, you know. And then there's no taking it back. I mean, you can't take it back, because what you say is done said. I mean, it's there. But what he's saying, what comes out of your heart, what's inside your heart is what comes out of your mouth, okay? And we have to be cautious. We have to learn to be mature. We have to learn to tame that. And it's not easy. And sometimes we have to put a bridle on it and we have to hold it back. But that comes with maturity. And not everybody's as mature as others. Sometimes there's somebody here that I'm helping up. This is our focus, okay? So I'm helping this person up. But yet when I turn and look over here to my right, I've got somebody that's just a little bit more mature than me that's helping me. You understand that? And that's what the church is about. That's the way we should be as a church. We should be here to benefit, to help each other and grow in Christian maturity. My wife, my kids laugh at how I say mature. They're always saying, that's an inside joke. I say mature or mature. I don't know how anybody, who else says that? But it both means the same thing. So if I say a little bit different than somebody else. Anyway, you know, we have to be cautious about what we say because it can hurt people. It can hurt people. The things that we say can either bring glory to God or not glory to God. Okay? And that's important for me as a Christian and for you as a Christian and for our church is to be cautious about what we say. Because we're here to help people. We're here to lift people up. We're here to be not a stumbling block for people. And even though we have our opinions, okay, although we have our opinions sometimes, our opinions cannot reflect what the Word of God says. That's why He says some people shouldn't teach. You got to speak what the Scripture says. We can't put our opinions in. We can't say, this is what I think. Because it's not about that. Let me go on. See. So in verse 7, let's look at Matthew chapter 15 real quick. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Verse 11, I believe. 15:11. I don't think I read that yet. No, 15:11. Let's go. I'll give you time. We're not in a hurry this morning. Is anybody in a hurry this morning? Such a beautiful day outside. I know we're ready to get out there. Chapter 15, verse 11 said, "What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Now, if we look back in here, Jesus is again talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to those religious people again. And sometimes we get caught up in so much of this. If you go back a little bit, like in verse 8, just back up just a little bit. He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." That's what he's talking about. But this saying, he says, listen, what goes into someone's mouth, what are you feeding yourself? That's why I ask you first off, are you reading your Bible every day? Are you studying the Scripture? Are you learning more about God? Are you learning more about what Jesus wants you to do? Seeking Him for His will? Because that's what he's saying. If your focus is on the things of the world, then the things of the world are going to come out of you. If you're focused on the things of God, and the things that He wants you to do, then the things of God are going to come out of you. It doesn't. It's, there again, it's not what makes you perfect. It's not what makes you perfect, because none of us are perfect. But by God's grace and the fullness of the holiness, when He comes into you, we sang that song, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary." Lord, God has to do that. That's what that song means. Lord, prepare me. I can't prepare myself. I can to a point. I can pray. I can offer myself as a sacrifice to Him. But then He does the work. Amen? Now listen to that. But it takes discipline. And it takes us. That's why the Scripture says you have to bridle yourself. It's discipline in our lives. And sometimes we don't want that. That word there we don't like. Discipline. I never liked it when I was a kid. But it was beneficial to me. It was. Nobody wants to get a beating, right? You wait, I can, Mom will laugh. You wait till your dad gets home. And I knew dad meant business. My dad's a good dad. He never beat me. I say that word, but he spanked me a few times and I deserved every bit of it. Maybe a few times he spanked me, I didn't need it, but I didn't think I did, but it didn't kill me. I don't want to get off course here. Let me get back to where I was at. James chapter 3. I know I'm a little laid back this morning, but this is just so good. I want you guys to get this morning. Verse 7, it says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Man, listen to that. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. Remember what I just read in Matthew? With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now, I know people that, you know, that's what hypocrites, you know, that's why we call people hypocrites at times. Because we see them, they go to church and they do the things, you know, they dress the part, they act the part when they're at church, but then when they're out in their daily life throughout the week, we notice different things about them. And I know I'm not being judging to one individual, but you know what I'm talking about. But those are the people that the world sees in us as well, okay? The world watches us, and they watch the things that we do, and that's why that word, that's why they call people hypocrites. Because they say one thing, they come to church and they praise God and they say that they believe in Him and they do all these things, and then they do that on Sunday, and then on Monday they're cussing out their coworker because they got aggravated at him. Come on now. Or an employee or whatever. They get mad and they do these things. And he says, you can't do that. That's not what you should do. You gotta be mature. We're not here to be a stumbling block for people. We're here to be a light in the world. We're here to be a good example. For who? For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did Christ do? That's what he's saying. James is direct. And he said, you know what? You know, have you ever put too much salt on your mashed potatoes? You just can't take it away, can you? Man, I wish I could have salt on my mashed potatoes. That one really hit me because I miss salt. I can't have salt right now, you know. I can have a little bit of it, but it's just not enough, you know. I miss it. But, you know, I can remember, you know, you get too much salt on something, you can't take it out. You can add stuff to it, and it just seems like by the time you get done adding enough to make it right, you got more than you can. I mean, it's a mess, right? But it's the same. We need to be fresh water. We need to be clean water. We need to be pure water for this world. And that's what we need to be. And one little bit of salt that gets added in that, it's there. And you can't get rid of it. You can't take it out. You have to, I mean, in order to get salt out of water, you know, it's a big process. It's a huge process. It can be done, but it's a huge process. Are you learning something this morning? Come on now. I want to read something. Somebody in here is going to be familiar with this. Before I go on. I want to read this. This is what really got me this week. It says, our conduct has a direct influence on how people think about the gospel. The world doesn't judge us by our theology. The world judges us by our behavior. People don't necessarily want to know what we believe about the Bible. They want to see if what we believe makes a difference in our lives. Our actions either bring glory to God or misrepresent His truth. Amen? I could quit right there, couldn't I? But see, that's what James is saying. This little thing we got in our mouth gets us in trouble, and we've got to control it. In the scripture in Proverbs, it says it's like a sword. It can, you know, it's a deadly weapon. It can kill people. You can destroy somebody by just what you say. You know, everything that we say, everything, the things that we talk about, we want to be negative, or if we want to talk negative, it affects the church. It affects who we are. When we're out in the world, if we're talking bad about people, it affects not only the person that you're talking about, it affects you as the person, and it reflects the church that you go to. Amen? That's what James is saying. That's what Jesus is trying to get to the Pharisees, you know. This relationship that we have with Christ is a relationship that comes from the heart. First Peter 3:10. I'm going to go just start in verse 8. 1 Peter. It's after James. Peter says this. He said, finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings or with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I'm going to stop right there. I read more than what I said. Let's go back to James. And I'm going to end this morning with this part right here. In verse 13, we're going to read the rest of the chapter. It said, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter, evil, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Now you listen to that. Listen to that. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder. Listen to that. And every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Man, I love this whole book of James. It is just a reminder of how we should really watch what we say. and how damaging it can be. I mean, I know people that don't forget things. You say something wrong to them and they'll remember it until the day you're in the grave. You know, it's true. And that's why we have to head off those things. You know, I see things that, I was looking at the news. I don't like watching the news, but it seems like I do anyway. It's a circus. But you see things that people, mistakes that they made 30 years ago come up. And it destroys their life today. Because of an action that they made 30 years ago. And sometimes harmless, really, or not a big deal, you know. But how many of us are guilty of making a mistake 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 minutes ago? You know, we all are. You know, because we're not perfect people, we make mistakes, but that's why we have to be so cautious about what we do. We have to be cautious about what we say. Because the world we live in is not so forgiving and loving and understanding. And they will hold it against you. And that's why the scripture, that's why James is saying, we can't have that, you know, you guys got to be careful with what you say. And like I said, you know, people look at us, you know. People watch us. We need to lift each other up. Encourage each other. And I preach this a lot, I know. But it's just so important for us as a church and for us individually as Christians. You know, because we're on this personal walk. We're on this relationship. We got a one-on-one relationship with Jesus. You know, and He's got this plan for each and every one of us. And He doesn't want us, He wants us to achieve it in the best that we can, you know, do the best that we can with it. But He understands our faults and our failures and all these things, but He wants to tell us this. That's why we got this book here to say, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to look out for. Don't let this get in your way. You know, and He tries to tell us this. And we don't want to listen sometimes. And that's why I want to say it again. I encourage you, read, study, get into the Word. It will be beneficial to you. Let's go back to, I want to read, we don't have to turn to it, but Jeremiah 9:8. There's a couple more scriptures that I want to read. It says, Jeremiah 9:8. He says this, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With their mouths they all speak cordially to their neighbors, but in their hearts they set traps for them. Should I not punish them for this? Proverbs, there's a couple of scriptures here in Proverbs that I liked. Proverbs 17:27, it says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is intempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. And in Proverbs 21:23 here it says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. That's one of my favorite ones right there. We got to guard what we say. We have to. And man, I just love this lesson from James. This is such a good lesson. And I hope that when we leave here today, and I hope it's been beneficial to you this morning, and I hope when we leave here today, you remember these words, and that it makes you better in your life. And because, you know, one of these days, we got a Savior. He says, I'm going to come back. And He said, I've got a place prepared for you. And He said, but all of us, every one of us, the good and the bad, He's going to separate the good from the bad, and He's going to judge every one of us. And He's going to judge us for the good things that we did, and He's going to judge us for the bad things that we did. And that's what the Scripture says. You know, it's just like the parable between the fish and the nets, and the parable also about the sheep and the goats. There's going to be a time of separation. But he tells us, that's what this word is here for. He's telling us, okay, I want you to live a good, productive life for me. I want you to take care of, what did he say, the widows and the orphans? To take care of them. And if our focus is on doing the will of God every day in our life, if we're focused on that, then all that other stuff we won't have to worry about. Because our focus is there. Our focus is not on the world. And that's what we got to get our mind off of. And we got to start focusing on what His will is for us in our lives. And then when we stand before Him, just like that song, Cornerstone, I want to stand before Him. When that time comes, I want to be able to stand before Him and say, I know I did right because I followed what His Word said. And it's not a religious thing. It's because I know in my heart I had a relationship with Him. And I don't have to worry. I'm confident that I can stand before the throne and He can judge me for the things that I did. Amen? That's where I want to be. But it's a daily walk. It's a daily struggle. It's discipline. And we don't like that sometimes in our life. I encourage you this morning, you know, if you don't have that deep relationship, just get close to Him. Just get on your knees and start praying. That's all it takes. It takes nothing more than just get on your knees and start praying. Seek Him. Read His Word. And He'll open up to you more than you can imagine. And that's what we have to do. You know, some people think you have to go through, well, I got to do this, and 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 that'll get me to heaven. But if we'll just get on our knees and say, Lord, take everything away that is me. Take all this world, take all these thoughts, purge me of all this stuff. I want to serve You and make You the Lord of my life. That's what He wants from us. He wants us to just praise Him. And then He just do what I told you to do, He says. Just go and do this, and I'll take care of you. Don't worry about anything else. Just do what I told you to do, and don't worry about it. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I hope I spoke it the way You wanted me to. I know it's different this morning, but Lord, Your Word is profound sometimes. It's direct. And Lord, I just ask if there's anyone here this morning that does not have that relationship with You, it's maybe just struggling just a little bit in understanding what You want for them in their lives. Lord, I just pray that You just reveal it to them this morning. Lord, I just ask You to bless this church, Lord. Bless these ones that are here this morning, and not just only the ones that are here this morning, but Lord, bless the ones that couldn't make it. Lord, I got a text this morning from some that wanted to be here this morning, but because of circumstances, they just wasn't able to make it. And Lord, their desire was to be here. Lord, I just pray for them. Lord, we have so many that are sick. Lord, I pray for this community again, Lord, that we may be a light to them. We may be a good example. Lord, my heart goes out. Lord, just help us this morning. Humble us this morning. Help us to say the right things and not to be the stumbling block. Lord, we praise You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, keep us safe and bring us back tonight. Lord, I know You've got something great for us tonight. Amen.